get, like, so, like, a little, you know, offended and, like, annoyed that I wouldn't get put on shows. And then it's always, like, the grass is always greener. You know, it's like, people will be like, oh, that show was terrible, or we didn't get paid, or, like, some, the crowd was terrible. And it's like, you don't have to worry that you missed out on anything. It's like, okay. So that made me feel a little bit better, like, that happened. And now I'm just happy with what I got. Like, I got on, like, 3 shows this year, so I'm like, I'm fine. I'm satisfied with whatever. Which is, like, you know, probably not great for motivation-wise compared to other people, but I'm like, I got what I got. It's like... But, yeah, that was an interesting thing on Monday. I would recommend going to it. It's just a long wait with whatever time they put you on. And it was interesting because, like, they asked people how long they've been doing comedy for, and a lot of us that were experienced went on later. So, like, these people had been doing it for, like, a week. And it's, like, so weird for me to watch. I'm like, oh, my God, I remember when I was, you know, that early into it.
Right.
And, like, you know, it doesn't bring back, like, terrible memories, but it's just like, oh, yeah, I used to suck back then so much.
I listened to stuff from me from, like, a year ago and to now, and I'm like, oh, I sound much better now. You just keep improving.
Yeah, you just keep... It always gets clearer. I always feel like it's, like, you see the forest from the trees a little bit. You're like, okay, it's getting brighter. It's getting, like, I can do more stuff. How long have you been doing it for? Like, 3 years now? 4?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a while.
You know, a year off maybe with the pandemic, but we were still doing mics out.
Right.
You know, I consider that I was still writing, you know, and all that stuff. So, 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I started late, you know. I was 52 when I started.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday's tomorrow, Richard.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, but I mean, at least, like, you had, like, you know, a lot to talk about. Like, you had this whole life experience to really talk about. Like, I was, you know, 21 and a half when I started doing stand-up, so it's like I had the opposite, where it's like I had no life experience, really.
Right, your material changes, though, as you grow and as you get older.
Oh, yeah.
Like Eddie Murphy said, you know, when he was a kid, he used to talk about
pee-pee
and poo-poo, you know, and then... As you grow older, your stuff changes.
Yeah. And I've been so lucky that, like, in the area that we're in, I've been able to see people, you know, grow alongside me and grow up. And, like, you know, it's really an interesting thing of, like, it's kind of like watching a TV show or being on, like, this weird TV show where you age with these characters and you're, like, it's so crazy to me that I've known... like, so many people for so long, and, like, Angelo and stuff, for, like, close to 10 years.
It's cool when, like, a lot of people, like, you know, they start out, and then they just get it, like, Tim Razor. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Out of the box, the guy just got it, and then he was like, boom. And that happens, but it seems to me, I could be wrong, I might be
right. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible how women are, you know, treated to this day. You know, it's awful. I see so many things of how guys act and just, like, not in comedy, but also in comedy, but, like, just people that watch comedy. It's surprising to me the sexism and stuff that still exists, and it angers me so much. I'm like, there are funny women in comedy. It's like, what is... And there always have been, you know? Right. I think because it's just, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's such, like, a weird thing that I feel like so much of that history is just not really looked upon. Like, there's always been, you know, great women comics. Like, it's just been, it's just different for me, I guess, since I'm a huge comedy nerd. But, Yeah, so when since you've been doing it, like, what do you think has... Yeah, I'm recording now. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Just to love it. No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, yeah, it seems like you've gotten, like, a pretty tight, like, set. Like, you did, I saw you, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, maybe like a week ago, with,
yeah.
The,
Conscious
Creative. Yeah, stuff. At, Prep Coffee, which I love that place. It's great.
It was a great show.
And, the woman who hosts it, like, I never met her before. She was excellent to be around, and I was just like, I really like her.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and at least she gave you, like, it was cool that she gave you that, like, topic, kind of, you guys, for that, where she's like, oh, freedom, and you can just, figure out a way.
I don't know if really got that or looked at it, but I figured, let me go with it and see if it'll give me some kind of direction to kind of, you know, what material, I always have a night, you know, what material am I going to do tonight, you know, and then when I see familiar faces in the audience, I don't want to do too much stuff that they heard. Like,
right, and I always have, like, the thing that me and that's always interesting is I have jokes of certain people that I love that I want to hear them do, and they're not going to want to do those jokes all the time, you know. There's like so many jokes that VJ does or doesn't do anymore that I love of his act, and I'm just like, I would love if he did those jokes tonight, but I understand he's working on new stuff. It's like, you know, I guess people might have that for me, but it's like, I see you, like, I was happy to see the certain stuff that you did. I love all your religious material. I love all that.
Thank you.
I really like, since I'm big into wordplay, I like a lot of that stuff that you always sprinkle in. It's like, you're just like a, and it's something that I always try to do. I always try to have, like, every type of, I guess, style or thing that I can do. The only thing that I can't do well is, like, storytelling. But, like, besides that, with every type of joke, I try to have, you know, like, short jokes, like, one-liners, and, like, stuff that is, you know, I think what's really great is when you can do stuff that just is your true self and really shows yourself a lot. Like, when you can be the most authentic on stage.
I have certain topics. I have relationship, I have religion, I have politics, I've got wordplay.
Right.
And I've got a little self-depth. I tried turning, like, a lot of my jokes into one-liners. I do a Zoom show with Jody Oliver every week, and, you know, sometimes I switch up my material and I'll make the religious stuff one-liners.
Right.
If I can do that, because sometimes you only have 5 minutes somewhere, and you want to throw in a bunch of stuff, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a set that flows or a topic that is cohesive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can just throw out one-liners.
I mean, that is sort of what I tried to do with my set on Monday, was just, like, we had 2 minutes, and I guess, like, a three-minute interview after. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do, like, I didn't do my usual intro that I do, because I've been writing this and, like, working on this hour for, you know, 3 years, since January 2020. And it's, like, weird because I have the intro done. So I just do the intro a whole lot, like, every set. It's been a bad habit of just doing those first, you know, 5 minutes. So it was fun to jump around and be like, oh, this is the best of stuff that I can do in literally 2 minutes. And I did it perfectly. Like, I timed it perfectly. Like, they didn't have to play the music or anything to get me off. It was just like, oh, I did 2 minutes. And I was like, I was thinking about it. You know, what's funny. It's like, we always crave longer sets. But part of me was thinking, like, I could actually do this, where maybe I'll be better if I just do 2 minute sets instead of 5 and 10. It's like, that should be what I do. I can be like a minute man.
I think, like, even on YouTube, these short clips are really what's, you know, piquing people's
Yeah.
I don't put anything up there that's longer than 2 minutes because people don't have the attention span.
No, they don't.
I want to hear a quick synopsis of what you do, 1, 2, 3, and then move on to the next.
Right. And you don't want to, the thing to me is you don't want to show too much. You know, you want people to, you know, come and see it. So, you can't really share everything. My whole thing is, I'm just going to share something if it does well. If it does really well and I kill, that's what I'll share. It's because no matter what people say, no matter what type of reaction I get online, if it's positive or negative, it's I don't care. I killed in the room. It's this is just a bonus that people get to see it. But, yeah, it's crazy how different places are. So I was happy that went well.
Yeah, I'll have to try
that
next time. But yeah, the coffee prep mic,
I
love what's happening at the Jersey Shore and the scene that's down here.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's back a little bit more. You know, I feel like with COVID, it just sort of happened where we're just okay, we're slowing down with stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Finding venues and little fun shows to do, and they're knowledgeable and they're business-like about it.
Oh yeah.
And everybody down here is very good. Even the open mics, they're a little more supportive than I've noticed in other areas of the state.
Oh yeah, I think it's the same thing in a lot of other states. We have more of that. I know in New York and Philly, those are very competitive places and they're not as, friendly and welcoming with each other as we are. We're sort of more underground in that aspect. And it's so cool that we'll be in different areas of New Jersey and there'll be so many ties to the community that you could meet people that you see everywhere else. I always love that. When I go to a place and I'm like, oh, this person's here.
Yeah, that's one thing I tried to do, because of my sales background, networking was the thing that came very easily to me. So writing and networking were the two things that I knew how to do.
Right.
There was everything else that I needed to learn. So I tried to, get, contacts New York, contacts North Jersey, contacts Central Jersey, contacts South Jersey.
Right.
So you can kind of have a different, mix. And I find that other comedians get me more work than any bookers ever do.
Oh, yeah. Because we also want our friends and people that we know that are good to get stuff. Because we're there's this sense of justice I feel like we sort of search for in, in the creative world of, okay, this needs to be, this needs to be highlighted in some way. And I think it's great. You were, I forget the guy's last name, but I think his first name's Rich, that you did shows with.
Ricky Byrne?
I think so. The guy at, that we did, what is it? The Mexican restaurant?
Chilango's?
Yeah, Chilango's, yeah.
Oh, there's Chip. Chip Ambrosio was my comedy school teacher.
Oh. Oh, that's great.
And then there's Davin Rosenblatt. He goes by Davin. And he did some coaching for me. So I've taken classes, Mm-hmm. I didn't go to, we talked about the one before, I didn't start out in an open mic. I started out at school, went straight to doing shows, did shows for a whole year, and then I did open mic. And I was like, oh, this is weird.
Right.
And it's real different. So it was a whole other animal.
Right.
I just like to use open mics to write. If I make you guys laugh, if I make my comedian and counterparts laugh, then I know that that one's a keeper.
Right, exactly. That's how I felt when COVID happened. It was so tough because when there wasn't an audience, it was like, okay, how do I make my set, better? And, it was always when I could make people, especially people that I'm, friends with, but that are, that I feel are a little bit better than me or a little bit more ahead of me. It's like, if I can make that person laugh, it was always something I aspired to fix whatever I was doing. And
right. I think the best way is, I hate doing it, is listening to audio or video.
Oh, yeah.
Watching stuff and video, and I absolutely hate it. But that's one thing Davin told me, you know, to improve myself. And I think doing the Zoom shows have kind of helped me, because it's almost like performing in a mirror, because I can watch my facial expressions. I can see how I'm doing things in body language. And that kind of thing has helped me a little bit. But he also told me that there is no competition. So, you know, you
see right.
someone's better or more further along than you. I just think that it's a personal
thing. Yeah, of course.
Everybody wants that, you know, to get somewhere. I always say, listen, I don't need to be on the show. Just put me on a flyer. All I need is a flyer to impress my friends.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I like to be good at it. I like to get better. I didn't really enjoy performing. Like someone like Dan Caprio enjoys performing.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just so great at just...
They enjoy it. You enjoy it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's become a learning process for me. Like, you know, I always have to... Like, the thing nowadays that I have to control is... I don't have a whole lot of empathy and sympathy for people with stage fright. Because I don't have it anymore. So I have to remind myself that when I was a teenager, before I started performing, that I did have it as like a child. And I've just been doing it so long that I'm like, it doesn't really, can't relate to that anymore.
Right.
And, you know, it's such a weird thing. Like, I was so, it was kind of an out-of-body experience for me on Monday, just being that confident. Because it was almost like, the thing that I was worried about deep down was like, am I coming off as an asshole because of how confident I am? I was like, that was my little bit of thing that I felt was not good. I was like, I think I came off a little too cocky.
Listen, there's a fine line between confidence and conceit.
Yeah.
Don't confuse confidence with conceit. That is the thing with me. Like, confidence, like, if I don't have the confidence, I will just wither up there. And the
right.
Yeah,
the audience can tell. And, like, they're even fine with it if they notice that you're not exactly there, but they notice that you're trying. Because that's all they want. All they want is, like, if they decide to be there or paid to be there or whatever, they just want you to do your best and give them, you know, what you can do the best. So, I just thought that was great, and I was happy with everything. So, you know, it's cool, though, just to go through it. And also just to see, I love seeing you around, because I don't get to see you a whole lot.
Oh, no. I
don't
think I've been going to too many mics this summer.
Yeah.
Well, my day job is very hard, and sometimes it's tiring, and I'm like, dog walking.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I just want to go home and, like, lay down in the AC.
Right. No, it can be tough to, you know, here. It's like, I'm so happy to be moving back with my parents, because it just was like a real learning curve of living on my own and being like, oh shit, do I want to go out tonight? Or do I want to get Uber Eats and just stay inside and watch YouTube? It's like so much.
You know, getting around to some of the mics all over, and even just getting to shows or in and out of New York. I don't do a lot of shows in New York anymore, particularly because it's just so costly to get in and out of the
city. Right. Yeah.
I just try to stick to New Jersey or PA or like upstate New York or something where I don't have to go over any bridges.
Right. Are you still able to watch, like, comedy, like, specials or on TV or whatever, like, still enjoy it in, like, kind of a way where you don't analyze it, or is it...
Yeah, I still do. I do enjoy comedy because I've been, enjoying it watching it for so long. I guess, I don't really criticize them or look at it differently at all.
Right.
But, like, it's funny, like, I watch Seinfeld, the old Seinfeld, and then I see him talking about things about being a comedian and the funny things that happened to him.
Yeah.
That I kind of look at a little differently. I go, know.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting to me when I watched the first episode, the very first episode of Seinfeld a couple months ago, and I was just like kind of relating to it of like I always get into like little adventures and then talk about stuff on stage like that. It's like, you know, it's like kind of like the upside of like being kind of like, I don't know, like a mess, quote unquote, of a person. It's like, well, at least with this crappy, like, weird experience, I'll get some type of joke out of it. Some type of thing. It's like, that's a silver lining to it. It's just like, okay, I can talk about this on stage now. Yeah. Oh, me neither. Like,
it comes to me or it doesn't.
Right. Like, I always.
If I have a joke, mm-hmm. I need to get something new, then I just take a joke I have and dig into it. Okay, what can I layer here? What can I get at more?
Right.
Try to dig more out of one particular topic or joke.
Yeah, and I think it's cool because you can just look back at stuff every couple months or even years and be like, oh. Now I have a different perspective on this than I did a while ago, or, you know, something happens. Like, a lot to me is I have really bad insomnia, so a lot of my stuff is just, like, eureka moments. And then I'm like, oh, shit, now I have to explain this to normal people. How do I explain this to normal functioning people? Of this thing that I came up with in my head at 2 a.m. And then I don't do it anymore, but I did, like, edibles for, like, 10 months. And it was good at, like, helping me write jokes. But it was just, like, that was another thing where it's like, oh, shit, this is more weirder material. That is tough to explain to people who are not high like you when you run.
Your mind is altered, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely different insights when your mind is altered, I know.
Yeah. So it's... And it's kind of, like, probably the same way that, like, musicians were. It's like, yeah. But, yeah, it's a lot of stuff. So, do you, like, how often are you getting up to do, you know, comedy? Like, is it every couple weeks or, like?
You know, last year I was really getting a lot of shows. I was getting 4 shows a month mm-hmm. instead.
Mm-hmm.
Then it kind of fell off, and then this year I would say I'm probably averaging 2 shows a month, sometimes 3. Getting a little more again. But I would say, you know, averaging a couple times a month for sure.
Right.
And then trying to get to a mic here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always
and
cool.
I do the Jody Oliver Zoom show every week, every Sunday.
Ah, right.
So that gives me an opportunity to write some new right. stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you probably get to meet new people a lot, right?
Oh, yeah. Networking a lot.
Yeah.
From all over, you know. With all over. So.
Yeah. That's one thing that I'm happy about with doing this podcast is I've been able to talk to people from different, like, areas and different states that I'm like, if I ever decide to go somewhere, like, else, like, I just have, like, a contact now. It's like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever want to do one of her shows, they're a lot of fun. You know, they're on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
You just send her a little thing and
right.
a little clip, and I'm sure she'll have you on there.
Oh, yeah.
The more, the merrier. You know?
I probably should do that more. I never really did Zoom stuff, but I probably should do it more just to get, you know, some type of experience with it.
Yeah, and plus, yeah. Like I said, you can really look at yourself and, like, you know, see your facial expressions or work on those other
right.
types of body things that go along with it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I enjoy performing.
Yeah. It's such a, like, that's such an interesting thing when you learn to, like, performing is such a hard thing, especially with comedy. Like, I know that you do a lot more, you're able to do a lot more shows than Mike, so, like, it's kind of, I don't know if you experienced this, but it's like, you still get to have that, like, showmanship in your voice when you perform. I always feel like what's so tough is when I'm at these different mics, it's just like, it changes because you know everyone, so like your tone changes from like showy to like conversational. And the thing that I am trying now, which is just something that I kind of like realized, is like I have to talk to the audience like I've known them a million years, instead of feeling like I'm just performing. Instead of just doing like... Right.
I don't care if it's the same. It's different every time.
It's different every time. And the thing to me that's always great is, like, I can often, like, have a plan of, like, what I'm going to talk about on stage and be like, I'm going to do this in my set and I'm going to do these jokes. And then I get up there and it always changes. It's always like, oh, I started off this way and I forgot that I was going to do this joke. And, like, sometimes I'll get mad at myself, like, oh, I wanted to do this joke and I forgot to. Right, no.
Right.
Right.
All the time.
And then the good thing is, like, having that chance to do it again, and you're like, especially, like, if you go to a place, like, I feel like with Prep Coffee, it's like, if they do anything like that again, which they probably will, it's like you have reoccurring audience people, which is good. Because, like, they get to see you grow, and they get to see you, like, evolve and watch it in real time. And that's a cool experience, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish it was, like, a little easier to get, like, more steady work or more shows or, you know, these cool things that, like, all these young guys, like Alex Zaleski and these guys are putting together these shows. It's great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got into the game really late, and that's okay.
Right.
It's a hobby. I'm not looking to be a famous comedian. I'm not looking to be a high-paying comedian. I'm not looking to be a headliner. I'd like to have enough material to be able to headline.
Right.
I don't aspire to that. I don't mind being a feature. I don't mind being a host.
Right.
I want to go and get my jokes out there and just have a good time.
Right. I think... Right.
The market is narrow.
Yeah, it's narrow, and it's so many people nowadays. Like, I talked to so many comedians also that started, you know, people like Grunfest and people like that who started when they were, you know, they're, like, older now. They're even older than you, and they started, you know, around, like, a lot of them started doing comedy in the 80s, in the early 80s. And then they took a break from it and then came back in, like, you know, 2020 or whatever. And it's like the game has changed so much where so many more people doing it. And, you know, there's social media and everything now. And it's just like, it's hard. And the thing to me is that's tough is in our state, in New Jersey, we have like very, very few comedy clubs, especially in the Jersey Shore area. We have like two. Like, and the tough thing is, well, we have, like, one in the Jersey Shore area, but, like, there's, like, maybe three comedy clubs in general, and a lot of them don't want newer comics. They sort of want established people, and it's, like, it's tough, because, like, someone like Tim Rager, like, it's cool with him, like, he's helping with that club of, in Point Pleasant, Vinny's, of convincing him to let people, newer people in, but
yeah,
it'll be tough because, you know, they'll do shows and it'll be like, oh, there's not a whole lot of people, and it's like, you can understand why he has his methods, but it's tough. It's like, you know, we want, and to me, I like the underground stuff. I like, you know, what was so cool to me about the Brighton Bar was, like, maybe, like, a year and a half into us really getting into it and doing it. Like, it was two times that we got on the paper as a comedy club, even though that place is not a comedy club. But we were doing so many shows there and, like, so many mics there that it was just, like, turned into that place. And that was already a popular place from, like, the music that they had. So it was really, really cool to have that. And it became sort of like our homemade thing. Like, I always wished that they had on, like, a part of the wall, like, the musicians that had been there. I was like, they really should have had, like, a wall where they put a lot of the comedians' names on it. Because we had people like that who were just, like, reoccurring, like, really, like, good people. And it was just such a cool vibe. And so crazy to think, like, how things have changed over the time of doing it in more places. Like, I really think if we get, I really hope that we get to do more stuff with Prep Coffee, because I feel like that would be the next place for everyone to meet up at. Yeah.
You know, when Jeff died and all the deadheads didn't know where to go, and they ended up going to, like, further concerts. And
right.
Sepulveda concerts. But, you know, we've kind of all migrated to other areas, and we're still connected. And, you know, the Brighton always had just the camaraderie about it. I added that. I added the comedy scene with the music scene, and that filtered in, you know. It was our home. It was our
little right. Family. It was really, really cool to have that. Yeah. And the only thing I wish is that we had more of, like, I wish we documented more of the social stuff of it, because that was a great thing of just the atmosphere, like, before and during and after, like, when we're in the back and people are smoking and drinking and we're just, like, talking. It's like, that is such a cool experience.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So, are you, I know I asked this, like, a little bit, but have you watched any recent comedy specials or anything that stood out to you or anything?
I really haven't. I'm so bad, Richard. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched anything.
Right. It can be so tough, too.
Yeah. I wanted to see, I guess I wanted to see, there was a Dave Chappelle special.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I completely missed it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, like, you know, much of a... Not that I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, when I was younger, everything was, like, Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know, and everything was on TV, and it was real right there.
Right.
And now it's, you got to search for these people, or got to know and see everything on TikTok, YouTube, or what have you.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of time right now. If it's not in front of me on the TV, it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Right.
But what's your favorite special lately?
I watched Joe List recently. He's very relatable to what I do. Also, Jim Gaffigan has a new one. He's been doing one, like, every year, which is great. And, like, he's one person who was my, like, major influence to what I do. Because I do a lot of self-deprecation, which is tough to do nowadays, because with rap, with the roast battling and stuff, that's a lot of, like, derived from, you know, the rap battle scene. It's like a lot of comedians are, you know, different now. They don't like to be self-deprecating. They kind of like to have the last word and the last laugh. And to me, my sense of humor has always been, like, making fun of myself. And that has tricky parts to it, too, because you don't want to get too sad. You know, I'm not someone who, like, you know, it's sort of funny, like, I never complain about people being too sensitive, like, audiences. I never complain about that until someone awes during my set. then I get that way. You know, but then I have to take that note of, like, okay, maybe that joke is, like, not coming off the right way. It's coming off too depressing and too, like, negative of... that it has to remain silly. Like, even if I'm talking about something serious, because I do talk about a lot of stuff that is, you know, kind of, you know, a serious topic with my depression and anxiety, and it's like, I have to make it, like, palatable to people and, like, able for them to see it in the right way. And,
right, to laugh with you and not feel sorry for you or laughing out of pity.
Right, and, yeah. So that's a big thing. Yeah.
I've seen people do stuff that where you're like, oh, don't go there.
And then some stuff, what's tough in like New Jersey comedy, and like I think in like New Jersey, Philly, New York, the thing is like there's just sort of a different attitude where people will laugh at things like that are part of the joke. That is part of the joke, but it's not supposed to be like the funny part. Like when I talk a lot about like my autism and stuff, it's like the word autism just makes people laugh for some reason. It's like that's not part of the joke, but that's fine. Can't really control that.
Well, I don't think you have autism. I think you have
awesome. Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Yeah. Have you, do you have anything new that you're working on, like in terms of like jokes or anything like that is sort of?
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's again with religion, it's something called the religious menu. I know you've heard me do like my religious
menu. Oh, yeah, yeah, I see.
But I have something called the religious menu, and it's a little bit more, like it's a little long to do on a mic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to put some stuff together to make a little
right.
video with my friend, one of my other comedian friends, Tori Stewart.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so, you know, just stuff like that, and, you know, I like to do some song parodies up and sing a little into my jokes.
Right.
I'm not a very good singer, but I do it anyway.
I think it fits with the stuff that you do, and yeah. It's always good to have those different things. Do you, are you married to the guy that you're with?
Oh, Steve?
Yeah.
We live together and we're engaged. We're not married, though. So
yeah.
We've been together, I guess it's legally married at this point.
Right. 15 years. Yeah. I was just curious, does he, like, work on stuff with you? Do you run stuff by him a whole lot?
Well, most of my jokes can come out of him, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
No, like he's a source of a lot of material for me.
But yeah.
He's definitely a street guy, you know, as far as like humor goes, and I'm quite sarcastic.
Right.
So sometimes he doesn't always get me, but yeah, I do run jokes by him, or I develop a joke just sitting on a couch with him,
mm-hmm.
you know, or cooking. The dispensary joke that you've heard.
Right.
That was actually a real conversation with two people that I know, and I thought it was very funny, so I made it into a little story.
Right.
I changed it around. But yeah, he's definitely a source of inspiration.
That's great to have someone like that that you can bounce ideas off of and be like, okay, this is what I can do.
He's very supportive. He likes to come to my shows. I tell him, you don't have to come. You can stay home. It's, no, I want to go. I want to see you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like you guys are, like, great. He seems super nice.
You know, sometimes he's not, like, I don't like to bring him to the mic too much because sometimes he doesn't like the blue humor.
And oh, that makes sense.
Guys, a lot of blue humor or, you know, like, disgusting talking.
Oh, yeah.
And me, I'm used to it, right? Like,
yeah.
He's not. So he's, like, he's more offended for me, I guess, than for him.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. You know, yeah.
I can take anything. I don't get offended at anything, really.
Right. Yeah. To me, it's all about, like, to me, it is always about, like, context. And also, like, there are just people very rarely there are people who do comedy to hurt people. And that's the only time that I'm against it. Is, you know, I always feel like this is, like, a power that I have. So it's like a thing that I'm used to, you know. When I was, you know, a teenager and starting to get funny, a lot of it was for sarcasm and to, you know, and to defend myself. But you can also get very snarky and mean with it. So, like, it was sort of a power I had to learn to be, like, good with. And be like, I'm going to use this to make people happy instead of... You know, be a dick with it, because you can totally be that way. Like, one thing that's surprising to me is, like, I'll be on TikTok, and a lot of, like, I don't put as much videos up as much as I will, but I do comments on, like, videos that people make, you know, any type of thing, and people will be, and it will become the top popular comment with whatever funny comment I had. Like, I have one in this video recently. This person had their, like, their cat was in a window, like, being, like, bratty. And they're like, Winston is, like, being badly behaved. And I'm like, he's mad because you named him Winston. And that comment got a lot of likes. Like,
I have a joke about Winston. Very
funny. Yeah, it's like I'll always have, like, little lines. But sometimes I can go, like, it can go too far. And I'll be like, does that make me look like an asshole to be like that? Oh, really?
If I haven't been hacked, I'm not doing it correctly. That's the consensus. But I just feel like I'm doing it right. That's why.
I think what you do is just like, I feel like you go at a pace that is hard to jump in at, which is great. It's like, once you have that control of, like, there's no place for people to jump in and say anything. Because you're not going too fast. You just have that quick-witted, like, to me, I've always had a mix of, like, I used to be so timid when it happened, and now the thing that's bad is I go too far with it. So, like, someone will interrupt and I'll be like, I was so impressed with Liam, someone interrupted during his set at the prep coffee, and he put it down, but he didn't do it in a way that, like, made him unlikable. To me, I kind of do that nowadays, where someone will try and interrupt me, and I'll say something way too extreme and be like, okay, now the crowd is not going to like me anymore. And that's a tough thing. And also, it's tough because, like, comedy is so hard because it's, like, 100% built on, like, likability and how much people, you know, have with you. You know, if you have bad social interaction with someone, it's different than, like, any other type of performer, because, like, a musician can be a dick and then go on stage and be like, well, at least he can play the guitar. I don't like him personally, but he can play the guitar pretty well. If I have a bad interaction with someone and they're like, this guy sucks, they're not gonna like my jokes.
It's very critical. The audience has to like you.
Yeah. So I'll have that. It's like, yeah, I have to deceive you and make sure that, like, a lot of your jokes can come off like, not yours, like, I mean, from not the your jokes. Like, I think a lot of people's jokes, it's like, you have to, there are so many people I know that if they just changed a little bit of, like, their tone in what they said, their jokes would work so much better, and just, like, people would kind of get it, because there's a lot of people that I just feel like they come off wrong. When it's like, no, they're a good person. They're a nice person. It's like, you've met Nick Sanchez, right?
Yes.
Like, he is so great. Like, his stuff is just amazing. And just, like, he has that personality where it's like, I have to be, like, constantly like, no, he's a good guy. Like, off stage, he's a super nice, great kid. Yeah. But it works for him.
I like everybody, so, you know.
It works for him, though. So that's cool, too. Like, also just see people sort of have that, where they just have an aura about them on stage, and you're just like, that's really cool to watch and see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to, like, build up my minutes. I think I might have, like, 45 minutes.
Oh, wow. Right.
I'm not interested in trying to be a headliner.
I think
someday down the road, if I feel confident enough and I really can bang out an hour without blinking.
Right.
I would struggle to do the whole 45 minutes at this point.
Yeah. I think it's also just, like, finding the right, like, venues to do that and the right, like, to me, it's such a fantasy to me to be able to do that, like, the one thing that I'm happy about, like, with the Monday thing is the place that they have that new, you know, thing that I did on Monday is that's the place that I want to do my hour in a couple of years. And I was just thinking, you know, if I go there and I work on my stuff, like, people will be able to see it progress. And then they'll be like, after people seeing 2 minutes of every bit of this, they'll be able to see the full hour. And it'll be, like, a cool thing of to see that. And
is that every Monday they do that?
Yeah, they do that every Monday. So I'm just going to have to figure out, like, my main thing is I just want to figure out how to get there. Because I'm a very early person usually. But, like, they put me up, like, pretty late last time. So, like, I have to time it in a way where I get there and I'm not, like, there for hours and losing my mind. And being like, oh, like, my terrible thing is just, like, you know, your standards. I don't know how this comes for, like, if I sit through, like, people that are bad, I usually have two interactions, like, with it. I either get mad that it's not going well and that it's, like, losing an audience and that it's not doing. Or I laugh inappropriately at people doing terribly. And I'll be like, oh, I'm not laughing at your jokes. I'm laughing at the audience. I'm laughing at the shit. So it's always a thing to deal with, like, attitude-wise, I feel, with going to a place and being there. Because you want to be supportive and you want to have the right attitude and make sure, like, that you're getting along with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, they show up and then they do their thing and they go.
So right.
Okay, sometimes I get you have to, but it is good to hang around every now
right.
and then, you know?
Like, I loved that at the prep coffee thing, the thing that was great was she sort of encouraged everyone to stay in a way that was, like, it wasn't, like, it was kind of strict. It was, like, she made people stay, so it was cool. It was, like, and I was happy with that. I was happy to stay. I was actually really happy with that. I was, like, oh, yeah, I'll see everybody. And it was just, it was super cool.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This will probably come out way too late for me to sort of ask this question, but I'm just curious anyway. Do you have anything coming up, like any shows or anything, like,
yeah,
on the horizon?
I have a show in Long Branch with at the Arts and Cultural Center. We did it last year. I'll be with Angelo and Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Amafonte and Alex Zaleski on the 21st in Long Branch Arts and Cultural Center. And then I'm going to be at the two-day festival, Public Pancake.
Right, yeah, I'm doing that too. Are you doing the... Which part did you get on? Did you get on, like, the main thing or the showcase? I got on the showcase thing.
I guess. I don't know what it is. He said it's on Friday night I'm on.
Yeah.
And it's the next day is a mic or something. I don't know.
Right.
I have a couple gigs lined up. Yeah, nothing major, you know, no big paying gigs.
Right.
I have one big paying gig over the summer that I got through an agent. That booking agent, I did get that, but I did, like, an industry show with Jordy Oliver, and the guy, like, you know, watches you, and then, you know, you can send him an email on his tape, and you got to follow up. So I got one show. It was all the way out in New Hope.
Oh, wow.
Was, you know, $100 for 15 minutes, not a bad deal. But, you know, again, Pennsylvania, not around the corner. But at least it didn't cost me to, like, to New York to get there, you know?
Right.
It was just a ride, but, yeah, so I hope to get more booked work and paid work. It'd be nice. But bringers are not beneath me, Richard.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're a better person than me with that. You just perform, like, you know, and that's a good thing. Like, to get as much mileage as you can out of it and perform whenever you can.
I mean, I'm picky about it. Look, if I do a small bringer, I'm not going to be bringing 8 people to Scotty's. I'll do, like, 2 or 3 people. I'll do Greenwich Village.
Right.
Something like that where I can get a tape, I can have a great
right.
comedy club, you know, something that makes sense.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But, yeah, if I'm not getting work, it's a good way to stay visible and be working.
Right,
but,
yeah.
You know, other than that, yeah, I can't. I don't have the money to be running around into the city and stuff like I told you.
Right, yeah.
I have a couple shows coming up. I hope I see you at some of them.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, yeah.
And thank you so much for having me on your
podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You have a great podcast. You're very intelligent, very knowledgeable about comedy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
No,
I'm always trying to get better as an interviewer. Yeah.
Definitely.
That's a thing. So,
well, I hope you have a great holiday weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
You will. You'll see me very soon.
Yeah. All right, great.
All
right. Have a nice day. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks again. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye. All right.